The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "No one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one or love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. What will you eat or drink? Or about your body, what will you wear? Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They do not sow or reap. They gather nothing into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you more important than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothes? Learn from the way the wild flowers grow. They do not work or spin, but I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was clothed like one of them. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which grows today and is thrown into the oven tomorrow, would he not much more provide for you, O you of little faith? So do not worry and say, what are we to eat, or what are we to drink, or what are we to wear? All these things the pagans seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you besides. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil." The Gospel of the Lord. I don't really know why I come down here this morning, because it would seem superfluous, because I couldn't improve, could I, on what you've just been listening to. It's taken from the Sermon of the Mount. It's clear, it's precise, and it's wonderful advice. And yet, most of us don't believe it. Right or wrong? Well, if you think I'm wrong, hands up, put your hand up, anybody who never worries. So why do you worry? That's what the Gospel asks us this morning. Why don't you trust? Why do you worry? Husbands, have you ever been invited somewhere and you tell your wife and you're looking forward to the invitation, and she says, "I've nothing to wear." Why do you worry when you're beautiful as you are? It's not clothes that give you beauty. It's what's inside you that provides your beauty. Why do we worry about such things? There are some very interesting statistics on all of that, and I just want to maybe go and mention one of them because I have a bundle of them in my mind. So I just want to pick out one. It comes from a professor of psychology at Penn University, Professor Boravac. And he is an expert in worry, just like all of us are. But he deals with other people's worries. And he made a surprising discovery. So if I were to say to you, what do most people worry about? Would you say money? Or retirement? Or the hole in the zone, or climate warming, or an earthquake about to occur? What do most people worry about? And it comes down to one solitary thing. What would you think it is? No, that's an important one. Health is not health. Most people worry about what others think of them. Isn't that amazing? How we appear in other people's eyes. And I have many different proofs of that, but one of them, which is very interesting, how we appear in other people's eyes. The number of times in the past that I've asked somebody to do something in church, for example, to be a lector, and I would maybe ask somebody who was a teacher or a professional or had a very high-powered job, and so often I had the answer, oh no, I couldn't do that. There's no way I could get up and do that. And I say, why can you not read? Well, yes, I can read, but there's no way. Why? Because I'd be afraid I'd make a mistake or I'd get something wrong. See the fear, the fear. So how do you feel when you do get something wrong, when you make a mistake? How do you feel? It's human, isn't it? It's human. Failure is human. So thank God I've got over that. So I come down here, and if I forget or I can't remember what I'm supposed to be doing next, I'm not the least bit embarrassed. It's human. It's human. You know, how comfortable are you in saying I was wrong? Well, that's a good question to ask yourself. How comfortable are you in saying, I was wrong? That is my fault. What about those of you who are married? Are you married to somebody who's never wrong? Never wrong. Well, don't look at him or her, but think at yourself. Are you comfortable with saying, I was wrong? Think about that. That's a very important insight into somebody's character, what you really like. Thank God I have come to that stage where I'm quite comfortable with saying, I got that wrong, that's my fault. Rather than lying and defending myself, it's not worth all the trouble. Is not worth all the trouble. And there's an interesting story about going back for a minute to what other people think about us and so on. Think of all the money that people spend nowadays on cosmetic surgery. Why would anybody want to alter what God has given you? There's a story about a woman, and she was giving serious thought to having a facelift. And when she went to inquire about it, she realized how much money it was going to cost, because, you know, there's only cosmetic surgery here, but they're very rich people, because of people worried about what other people think about them. And so she was worried about how much it was going to cost. So she said to her husband, "I don't know what to do. Will I or won't I? It's going to be quite costly." And then she posed the question, "Suppose I do have a facelift and spend all that money and I die 3 months later. What would you do then?" And he paused and he said, "I guess we'd have to have an open casket for your funeral." So, how, you know, isn't it, when you look at it, it's funny, but that's where we are. And it comes from trust. And the solution to all that is to be able to say from the heart, "Jesus, I trust in you. Because I don't know what you believe, but God does care for you every moment of your life." The translation in the first reading is not a very good translation, but it's an absolutely beautiful reading from Isaiah this morning. And it's put to music. And maybe the choir, I can sing a little bit for you. And it goes along the lines of, "I will never forget you, my people. I have carved you on the palm of my hand. I will never forget you. I will never forget you. I will never forget my own. Does a mother forget her baby, or a woman the child within her womb? Even if they forget..." I missed the line there and I forgot. But that's fine. I did my best. And that's grand. Yeah. No problems. I got to the last furlong and then I went down. So that's okay. So that's what I want you to have. A lovely, happy attitude to life. And I wake up every day and I never ask God for anything. Because to me, that's a waste of time. God gives me everything I need. So my only prayer is, "Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus." And we were at the Congress, and there was a wonderful preacher there, gave a great talk, and he was talking about trusting in the Lord, and how people worry about, you know, not having enough money and so on. And so he pulled a dollar bill out of his pocket and he said, "Look at the dollar bill," he said. "On the front of it we have a picture of Washington. And on the back, what do we have? In God we trust." And he pulled down another one. I haven't got that much money, but I am putting off that. Yeah. A $20 bill. Yeah, I'm rich this morning. And on it is Jackson, and on the back of it is "In God we trust." And then he pulled a coin out of his pocket, and on the back of that was "In God we trust." So he said, "If your money trusts in God, why can't you?" it made a lot of sense. And that's the antidote to worry, is trust in the Lord. Now, I find that hard. It's difficult to really trust in the Lord, but I pray for it every day, and it does come bit by bit. Amen. Now, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Father Dennis, for those reflections and those challenges for us to face our worries, but also to embrace trust. There was about 40,000 people down at Anaheim this week, Catholics, gathering to reflect on our faith, and the theme of it was embracing trust, which is the gospel and challenge and the scripture challenge for us this week. As we move forward this week, we gather as Catholics into our holiest time of the year as we go through Lent and work toward the Triduum, the 3 days of Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter, and into the Easter season beyond. And so we reflect deeply together, we walk together, and this is an invitation from Matthew Kelly, who's a Catholic writer, and he created a website called Dynamic Catholic. All of you got some cards as you came in. If you haven't, they're at the doors of the church. And it says, don't give up chocolate for Lent. But it says, do something life-changing. Matthew Kelly.
Hi, I'm Matthew Kelly. And on behalf of everyone here at Dynamic Catholic, I want to invite you to join us for our Best Lent Ever program this year. Do not give up chocolate for Lent this year. Let's do something incredible. Let's do something different. Let's do something creative. Think about it. When was the last time you had a really memorable Lent? Can you look back and say, oh, in 1984 and in 2001 or in 1997? When's the last time you had a truly memorable Lent? This year, let's make a great journey together. What is the Best Lent Ever program? Every day, we'll send you an email for 40 days during Lent with a short video and some other great inspirational content to help you have the best Lent of your life. So join us for the Best Lent Ever program. Don't give up chocolate this Lent. Let's do something incredible together. And remember, be bold, be Catholic.
So this is one simple way of joining together with people all throughout the world, is going online, clicking, yes, I want to be part of it, and every day you'll get something in your email to reflect on our Lenten journey together. There's many other ways of doing that as well, as we might come to daily Mass. We might just take 10 minutes of quiet that we don't usually have. Maybe no news. No, anyway. But we also have a lot of other programs and processes here that we do together during Lent. Let's make this the best Lent ever. Ash Wednesday is this week. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.